I have gotten really into music in the last couple of years. I found a voice, and it's so much fun. In fact, once in a while, I'll actually do a cappella at CTC. Kind of scary stuff, but it's been fun. Anyway, please listen to this song, and it will give you a huge base of what the talk is all about today.
I got a good feeling things will be just fine.
Start it over.
Okay. I got a good reason.
Track three. There we go.
I got a good heart. I believe in. I got a good feeling things will be just fine. I got a good reason to keep on dreaming. I got a good feeling it's my season, it's my time. I'm putting myself first in line. I'm stepping on out in the sweet sunshine. I've paid my dues, and now I choose to leave my blues behind.
I know you got it.
I got a good heart that I believe in. I got a good feeling things will be just fine. I got a good reason to keep on dreaming. I got a good feeling it's my season, it's my time. I trust myself without a doubt. I'm taking good care inside and out. In this holy hour, I feel my quiet power. Shower me with love. Play one for me.
I love Sean Galloway. If you're not aware of him, YouTube him. Get some of his music. He's fabulous, and this is his new CD. Wonderful new thought speaker, workshop facilitator.
Light, where my future's bright. I got a good heart that I believe in. Got a good feeling things will be just fine. I got a good reason to keep on dreaming. I got a good feeling it's my season, it's my time. I got a good feeling, it's my season, it's my time. I've got a good feeling, it's my season, it's my time.
Thank you for allowing me to come back and to speak with you today and share from my heart. And when I was contemplating, Bill called and said, when would you come? And I thought about it for a brief moment and said, well, it has to be on New Beginnings. We're starting a new year. And since way back last fall, I've been feeling this in my bones. 2016 is huge. Huge. I just know this from every pore of my being. It's just so true. It pours out of me because it's the reality that is real. It's the truth of who we are. Our time has come. Our time has come. And I love what Sean said about I've got a good heart. You know, there's no doubt in any of our minds, I'm sure, that yes, we've made lots of mistakes. Thank you, we're human. Yes, we're human. That's part and parcel of this existence, this incarnation. We're going to fall down, get all dirty, brush ourselves off, and get back up. And that's okay. But the bottom line is, we all have pure, good hearts. And if you're not aware of it, this is control central. Right here. Not this. This is driven by this. It's been proven, the research is in. If you don't believe me, go to heartmath.com. Look at some research. Find out, because this part of our being, first of all, it's the first thing that develops in vitro. It is control central. It dictates everything else. Its intelligence is so far surpasses this. I'm promising you that is so true. So why did we give this so much power? Why do we let this run the show? Because, you know, over the centuries, we got the impression that intelligence and knowledge and book learning and academics and all of these things were very valued. And yes, they have great value. But our feeling nature is our sixth sense. It is as important as seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, and breathing. I mean, everything about us is governed by this. And we have a choice of getting in touch with that and really coming from the heart space as we live our lives, or stay up here where the ego runs the show or tries to most of the time. And we all know this. The ego is fear, doubt, and worry based. That's how it was designed. It's a construct. You're not born with an ego. It's created. It's created as a protector. It has a value. We need to embrace and love our egos, no doubt about it. But it was never meant to run the show. Never. And so, if we truly want to choose love over fear and live our lives from a place where we really thrive, we have to be willing to say, thanks, ego, but I hear what you got to say. Thanks for sharing, but I'm going to go down into my heart now and I'm going to get the truthful answers from Source, God, Goddess. I'm going to be guided from here, not from you and your needs to point out all the reasons why it's not going to work, that I should be afraid, that it's pointless and hopeless and blah, blah, blah. Okay. His next line was, feeling. I got a good feeling. It'll be all right. It is all right. There are teeny little, tiny little pockets on the planet of discord. Have you noticed that the great majority of this planet is thriving in well-being? No, that doesn't mean that everybody's a billionaire. That's not what thriving and well-being is. Thriving and well-being is about being in your truth, authentic self, connected to your creator, and allowing that to flow through your life with love and gratitude and compassion. And we're sustained by that. We are sustained by that. That is what I'm talking about. Some of the poorest people I've ever known in my life have been the happiest, most connected, most centered, most thriving beings I've known. And as a personal fitness trainer, I've known many hundreds of multi-millionaires on the borderline of billionaire. Were they happy? I wish I could tell you they were, but they were some of the most miserable, worried, preoccupied, sideways, off their path, disconnected from source people I've ever known. God bless them. I pray for them every day because you know they could do so much good. And many, many are. I'm not trying to say that that is a blanket statement and that how is everyone who is wealthy is. That's not true. Of course it's not true. But the point I'm trying to make is happiness and well-being and thriving are not about how much money you make, what your profession is. It's not at all about that. It's about tuning in and really being guided by your feelings and knowing that you know, trusting this. And you can. You absolutely can. That gives us a good reason to keep on dreaming. And we can dream this planet into the beautiful utopia we all know it is. And you know, in the fifth dimension, it's there. What are we waiting for? Are we going to hang out here in the third dimension and just be this creation of society that follows like the sheep? No, we're way, 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 way more powerful than that. So much more powerful than that. That is not who we are, and we're not about to go quietly like that. We're going to bring the love and light back to this planet. We're going to rebalance the masculine and the feminine. That is what we're doing here. That's why you're here today in this body and in this center and with all these people that are like-minded. We're all here bringing that vibration back up to where it belongs. And it's exciting. It's very, very exciting. And it is our season. It is our time. The time is here. And it makes me want to just scream from the highest mountain. I get so excited about it. I really, really do. So I was listening, watching a wonderful YouTube clip on Eckhart Tolle a couple weeks back. And it just so beautifully tied in with this message I'm bringing today. And his whole premise was that we must say yes to what is. Now let's just sit with that for a moment, because if you're at all like me, the moment I think of what is, my ego comes up and goes, yeah, but I don't like that, and it should be more like this, and why aren't those people behaving differently? And okay, that's what I'm talking about. When we say yes to what is, we are in our God space, because what is God too. It is God too. And I must not push against it, deny it, resist it, and be angry about it. Because what does that do? That disconnects me from my source. So, step one, and I thought just he's so beautiful to listen to. Eckhart is so in his God center and so clear, crystal clear. And he says, you know, in that moment, when we become aligned with what is, that doesn't mean that you are in resonance with what's happening or that you are happy about what is. It means that you accept your God looking at what God's created. And you're going to love it. And you're going to understand it in ways that the ego can't. There's a purpose for everything, or it would not be. God would not bring it into our experience. So the moment, in that moment, when we become aligned with the one, because what is the one, everything becomes yes. And all the resistance falls away. And the allowing and the space for it to change comes. When we resist, we contract. And everything gets frozen in that. It stays what is. But in that moment, when we just go, yes, I love that too. I accept that too. I am going to allow the space to come. I am going to open my heart and allow the space to allow the transformation. Because you know, the only certainty ever when you incarnate as a human is change. So why would we let our egos decide that it was going to hold things status quo? How powerful do you think you are, ego? Huh? You're going to go up against God, Goddess, and not allow change? It's futile, in other words. It's absolutely futile. So, I really, really, really love this Dr. Holmes quote. In the invisible law of unfoldment, we must come to trust and allow. Although we do not see the way, we must believe the way is and is operative. We must trust the invisible, for it, capital IT, is the sole cause of that which is visible. And I so dig what he says there, because the key word here is trust. And the ego doesn't want to trust. The ego wants to jump in and decide how it's going to be. I'm going to manipulate these people and talk to those people, and I'm going to get this one to do it this way, and sooner or later they're all going to line up in a row and it's going to work out. Bullpucky! Ha! It's just ridiculous. It's absurd. This is an attraction-based universe. There is no assertion. That goes for you, ego. I'm not going to be able to assert my will on anyone. And if I did, if they were young and couldn't help but take what I dished out, it wouldn't be long before their essence stood up against that. Because the one thing we cannot stand as God beings is to be thwarted. Our power cannot be thwarted. We are too powerful, and when someone tries to hold us down or tell us what to do, we push back, and we push back hard. So we have to be willing to let everyone be that powerful and not judge it. Ooh, there's the rub. There's the rub. And again, I think the judgment is really ego-based. And it's conditioning and it's programming. We have to be discerning beings, no doubt. I mean, we came in with one of our most prevalent intentions was to perceive and to have preference. Individual preference. If you're an Abraham student, you know this through your core. And so we have to have the contrast. We have to have the ups, the downs, the hots, the colds, the happies, the sads, all of it. We have to have it all. But we get to choose. That's what we must always remember. Regardless of how difficult a situation looks, we are at choice. we are always at choice. How are you going to feel about it? Are you going to view it in the broader perspective as God, Goddess views it? What would love do? Or are you going to get sideways and get into all the reasons why it's unjust and unfair and get angry and move further and further away from your alignment? And where is our power when we're there? It's so diminished. It's so diminished when we're not in alignment with God. What have we to offer, really, to the situation, to the loved ones that we may be worried about or angry with or frustrated with? When we go there, when we allow ourselves to go there, what have we really got to offer? It's again stepping back, like Eckhart has pointed out, and allowing it and giving it space so that change can come. And if I'm angry and frustrated and demanding and denying, I'm holding that right there. And it's going to get ugly. For all of us, it's going to get ugly. So, another quote from Ernest that I love. The student should take time every day to see his life as he wishes it to be, to make a mental picture of his ideal. He should pass this picture over to law and go about his business with a calm assurance that on the inner side of life, the invisible side of life, something is taking place. Hear, hear, Dr. Holmes. Hear, hear. And what does that bring us back to? Trust. So here we are, 2016, a brand new beginning. Are we going to just keep doing it the way we've been doing it? I mean, really. Not that life's been all that bad. But you know what? It could be a whole lot better. It could be really, really good. But it's up to us to choose moment by moment, every moment. We make thousands of choices every day. Even our children make thousands of choices every day. But are we conscious of those choices? Are we just doing them out of our programming? Now, all that being said, you must feel your feelings. And yes, we do get angry. We do get frustrated. We do get fearful. We do, we do, we do. And I have found that when I allow myself to do that, okay, I'm sad. I'm going to be sad. Again, I'm giving it space. I'm not holding it and resisting and pushing it against it. But okay. My baby, my one and only, God gave her to me at 40. She moved out yesterday. She got her own apartment. On one hand, thrilled. I'm so excited for her. I'm elated she's moving forward in her path, in her journey. And then there's Mom. Who has cried a river. So I have to feel when I'm feeling feelings, because that is the human experience. But know that those feelings are your guidance that God gave you, so that you can find your way back to the joy and the appreciation and the love and the kindness and the peace and the compassion and the clarity and the brilliance of who you really are. It's a piece of who you are. But this over here, this clarity, this brilliance, this is the reality with the capital R. That's who we are. And we can choose to live in that. Every day and every moment. I know it seems sort of far-fetched, but I do think that with practice, we can live there 100% of the time. Oh, I hesitate to say it because we are human. We are human. Okay, so let's say 95% of the time we can live there. We can live there because it's always choice. And when those things come up that we go, take a deep breath. Give it room. Try not to allow yourself to contract around it and start passing judgment. And say, what would love do? What would love do? I choose love here. I choose love here. And I'm going to take this even a step further. And this is going to sound very selfish, but those of you, again, who study Abraham know that there's no such thing. Because if you are being selfish enough to align with Source first, you serve everyone. You serve everyone. So the point is that we have to take care of ourselves first. We have to sleep enough. And I know there's a lot of people who don't. 3, 4, 5 hours a night. Even if they go to bed, they don't sleep well. We have to have enough water. We are vibrational beings. And we're not 70 to 75% water by accident. If you want to have energy flow in through you and out, dehydration is a huge block. Not to mention your physiological systems suffer terribly because they all need water to be present, to be healthy. Are you eating foods that vibrate here or foods that vibrate here? We all know, our organic friends teach us, we need to eat wholesome, healthy, live foods to vibrate here. Are you taking time to connect with your source and meditate and be quiet? Every day. Every day. Are you getting out there into the green and browns right now, but doesn't matter, out there into the nature and letting Mother Earth so enliven you, even if it's 5 minutes a day to go stand up against a tree and just let its energy flow through you? You are one with that tree. You are God and so is it. It needs you and you need it. Be in the nature. Be in the nature. You know, these are the things we have responsibility to do for ourselves first before we can be of service, before we can really make a difference to those around us and be of influence. I say influence because, again, we don't assert on anybody. We can't. Give it up if you're trying. Just live and model who you are. And they'll be influenced by that love, that purity, that truth. So to wrap it all up, we must live in total trust. Anytime I find myself questioning, that's where I have to get first. I've come out of trust in God if I'm questioning what is. I've got to stay in total trust. It's paramount. And with that trust, with practice, comes calm assurance. A knowing that is absolute. It's all good. There's nothing bad happening here. it'll all work out. And if it hasn't worked out, it's not over yet. So just breathe and trust and pray and take good care of yourselves. And I am determined, convicted, to visualizing and knowing this world differently than it's ever been before. Thank you all.